Good morning. Just like I do, you can tell Jonathan I made it. He didn't. So we're going to begin worship this morning with a song from Hillsong, and it's called Worship. So whether you'd like to stand or sit, I'm going to kneel if that's okay. I'm all locked in and ready to go, so...
You are the Word of the beginning, one with God the Lord Most High. Your hidden glory in creation, now revealed in you our Christ. What a beautiful name it is. What a beautiful name it is, the name of Jesus Christ, my King. What a beautiful name it is, nothing compares to this. What a beautiful name it is, the name of Jesus.
Thank you, Lord.
Want Him without us, because You brought heaven down. Sin was great, love was greater. What could separate us now? What You made it. What a wonderful name it is, the name of Jesus Christ, our King. What a wonderful name it is, nothing compares to this. What a wonderful name it is, the name of Jesus. What a wonderful name it is, the name of God, You reign. the kingdom. Whose is the glory? Whose is the name above all names? What a powerful name it is. What a powerful name it is. The name of Jesus Christ, my King. What a powerful name it is. Nothing can stand again. What a powerful name it is. The name of Jesus. What a powerful name it is. The name of Jesus.
Father, we just come before you today. God, we are humbled in your presence. What a wonderful name it is, the name of Jesus Christ. God, what a powerful name it is. Father, we celebrate not only your glory, but a name that is above every other name. And at the name of Jesus, God, we give thanks, we give praise, we give honor, and we give glory. God, what a day you have given to us. What an opportunity, Father, to gather in your name. Father, we ask your blessings now upon this service, upon everything that we do, say, and complete. God, may it be within your realm, Father. We thank you and praise you. In your holy name we ask it. Amen. Amen. You can be seated for a moment, and I think I might. What's going on in the life of the church? See, I got a leg up on you now. Let's see. Wednesday night, I will be back, provided all is well. And we've got just a couple other chapters in the book to finish up, and we'll complete that. Last week, it gave me a little bit of a challenge, but that's notwithstanding. When you're doing something that the enemy doesn't like, it gives you a challenge. So I just stopped, started all over again, because I felt somebody needed to hear what I was sharing, so I just continued on. I wasn't going to let it stop me. I was in the church office just having a grand old time and just worshiping the Lord, so I'm thankful for that. What's next? Today is the last day to get your tickets for that. So if you're interested, today is the last day, from what I understand from the email, to get your tickets for the Women of Wisdom and hosting the event. So that's up there. Next, the QR code. I had some trouble last night, so I did not post the bulletin. Jim probably posted it on the website, but I did not get it on Facebook Live. So I'll try to get it on there today for those of you that can't access the website, but I didn't have it on Facebook last night. Just could not get my computer functioning, and so it was enough to finally get everything downloaded, and we'll go from there. But what's going on in the life of the church? Obviously, I'm here. So they gave me grief about it, and they said, it's just easy. Suck it up, buttercup. So here we are. So whether I sit or stand, we're going to worship, and we're going to serve the Lord just as if God was moving all over this place. I'm grateful for his love. I went into the surgery. No apprehensions. We were having fun with the doctors. We were laughing and joking, and I came out of the surgery, no issues. Haven't had any issues, and just thankful for what God is doing. So it's going to be a challenge the next few weeks, not putting my foot down. She's like, it's time you stop putting your foot down. But we put together some songs. One of them is Nothing But the Blood, Trust in God, and Oh Come to the Altar. So however you're comfortable to worship, we want to continue to keep a multitude of people who are not with us this morning. Gary is home. For many of you that don't know, Gary got home, I think it was Friday. He's moving a little slower, but his kidneys are functioning, and we're praising God for what God is doing in his life. I'm grateful for no problems so far, and I expect to keep it that way. We'll see how the next 8 weeks go, but I finished my assignment for class, so I'm grateful for that. I haven't gotten a grade yet. We'll see how that goes. And the next semester, we're already preparing for that. So I'm just grateful for what God is doing. No other place I'd rather be than right here with you guys and celebrating the Word of God. When I started writing early this week, I said I have no idea what Friday or Saturday is going to bring, but here it brings us. So we're going to worship just like normal. So I'm going to pop up and down as my energy level gives it to me, and we're going to just worship, and then in our time of prayer, I may just sit down, but hey, we'll go at it the best we can. My scooter's locked in, so I'm not going nowhere. So let's worship the Lord. John, can I have just a little bit more volume for myself? Thank you, sir. What can wash away my sin? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. What can make me whole again? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. Oh, precious is the flow that makes me white as snow. Oh, no other fount I know. Nothing but the blood of Jesus. We're thankful for that blood today. Oh, my pardon, this I see. Nothing but the blood of Jesus. For my cleansing, this my plea. Nothing but the blood of Jesus. Oh, precious is the flow that makes me white as snow. Oh, no other fount I know. Nothing but the blood of Jesus. Thank you, God, for the blood. I'm grateful for the blood of Christ given to us today. Nothing but the blood of Jesus. This is all my righteousness. Nothing but the blood of Jesus. Oh, precious is the flow that makes me white as snow. No other fount I know. Nothing but the blood of Jesus. Thank you, God. The other one's a melody by Elevation Worship. It's called Trust in God.
Blessed assurance, Jesus is mine. He's been my fortress in the fire, time after time. Born of His Spirit, washed in His blood, and what He did for me on Calvary is more than enough.
Thank you, Lord.
Oh, I trust in God, my Savior, the one who will never fail. He will never fail. Savior, the one who will never fail. He will never fail. Perfect dominion, holy sacrifice. I know the author God, my Savior, the one who will never fail. He will never fail. I trust in God, my Savior, the one who will never. I'm But the Lord, He heard and He answered. That's why I trust Him. That's why I trust Him. I saw the Lord. I saw the Lord, and He heard, and He answered. I saw the Lord, and He heard, and He answered. Why I trust in You, why I trust in God.
Thank You, Lord, this morning. This next song calls us to come to the altar. So whether you want to sit and prepare for prayer or you want to worship this way, I'm good either way.
Are you hurting, broken within? Overwhelmed by the weight of sin, Jesus is calling. Have you come to the end of yourself? Do you thirst for a drink from the well? Jesus is calling. Come to the altar, the Father's arms are open wide. Forgiveness was bought with the precious blood of Jesus Regrets and mistakes. Come today, there's no reason to wait. Jesus is calling. Bring your sorrows and trade them to joy. From the ashes a new life was born. Jesus is calling. Come to the altar, the Father's arms are open wide. Forgiveness was bought with the precious blood of Jesus Christ. Come to the altar, the Father's arms are open wide. Forgiveness was bought with the precious blood of Jesus Christ. Oh, what is Savior? Isn't He wonderful? Sing hallelujah, Christ is risen. Bow down before Him, for He is Lord of all. Sing hallelujah, Christ is risen. Down before Him, for forgiveness was bought with the precious blood of Jesus Christ. On you, the altar, the Father's arms are open wide. Forgiveness was bought with the precious blood of Jesus Christ.
You can see that as we prepare for prayer. We are called to come to the altar and worship Him. The Father's arms are open wide. Father, we just bring to You today, God. Sometimes our tired, sometimes our weak, sometimes our broken self. We come this morning, God, just to come to You, Father. Father, we know we need Your strength. We need Your touch. We need Your hand, God. And I'm grateful, God, for what You have done and Your blessings and Your anointing. I'm grateful, God, that Gary is at home and recuperating. Father, I'm thankful for the anointing upon his life. And I know he's got some journeys ahead and to gain some strength and to get back to being his normal self. And he's moving a little slower. But God, You have touched him in a mighty way, God. And we are grateful that the kidneys are working. We're grateful that the healing has begun, and we're grateful for the touch on his life. We're grateful, God, for Your anointing and to worship with Suzanne and Louie and to see what God is doing in her life, God, and how You've anointed her, Father. And You've just begun a good work in her, Father, and You're not going to stop until it's carried on and completed. And Father, we're trusting You for that. Yeah, there's been some setbacks along the way, but God, those setbacks are setting her up for a comeback. Setting her up for the glory given unto You, God. The enemy wants to think about the setback. But God, we're going to look forward to the glory that You're anointing in her life. And the touch upon her, God. We're continuing to thank You, God, for what You're doing and will continue to do. We thank You, God, for Charlotte, God, and as she worships You, Father. And the opportunity to give thanks to You. We're thankful for what You're doing in the Breck's life and Scott's life and Rob's life. And we're thankful for Pastor Salim and Bungoma. We're thankful for the Kangoma Church. We're thankful for our sister churches around the area. We're thankful, God, for this church that You planted us here, God. And You've begun a good work in us, Father. And You're working through all of the things that we might have issues with. Father, I know You're working through this furnace issue, and You're going to resolve it here very shortly, God, and we're going to get some answers and resolution, Father, and Your hand has been in that every step of the way, and we're grateful, God. It's not our timing, it's Yours, God, and You're going to make a way. When we can't see it, God, You're going to open up the doors. Father, we just praise You for that. I'm thankful, God, that there was no stress over this surgery. There's been no worry, no doubt, no frustration. I'm thankful, God, that I can laugh with the doctors and rejoice in all that's going on because, God, I know that very shortly here, they'll be walking, they'll be moving, they'll be talking. Right now, it's only momentary, but, God, I pray that You'll give me wisdom to stay still. Give me wisdom to stay put. Give me wisdom to go in the right direction. Give me wisdom to focus, God, not only on my schoolwork, but focus on the things that are important, God. And soon, God, there'll be a time. And Father, before that time, I know that Your hand is with us. So bless Your church. God, there's a multitude of people that are not with us this morning. You know what they have, God. You know what's going on. You know the sicknesses that are going around. You know the hurts. You know the desires that we have. Father, and I pray right now that You will touch every one of them. Father, for those that are out working today, God, that are and making their ends meet, God bless them. Bless them, because I know sometimes the schedules can be full. And Father, I know that had it not been for this foot surgery, I probably would have been at work this morning myself. But God, I pray that you'll bless those that are out doing and earning. Father, that your hand will be upon them. Anoint them, Father. Give them grace. Give them glory. Give them your blessings today. For those that are at home sick, God, bless them as well. That your portion would be upon them. That your grace would lift them up. That, Father, when the days seem long and the hours seem to pass by, Father, anoint your people today. Whatever is happening in our lives today, Father, let the Holy Spirit rest on us. Because Wednesday night, God, the enemy wanted to take away that message. But God, you've got a greater message. For greater is he that is in me than he that is in the world. And God, if I had both my feet, I'd want to stand up and jump and shout and praise the Lord for what you are doing, God. But I'll sit, raise my hand and rest and know that, God, your power is still at work. And I'm grateful. God, I pray that now in the rest of this time that we spend, you'll open up our minds. You'll give us grace. You'll touch your people. Father, the world around us is so focused on the political climate, the things that are going on around us. God, we need to focus on God. We need to bring that back and bring revival into our churches. That, God, we will lift up in due time the name of Jesus Christ. That you are still the name of the Lord, and the righteous can run to it and are safe. God, I pray that you would allow us this time to focus on you. And God, that you will bless your people. No matter what it is, God, whether it's technology, whether it's financial issues, whether it's personal crisis, God, that you will meet the need of your people. For you, God, are able to do more than we can ask or think. And Father, I just know that it can be done in the power of your name. So Father, have your way. Now as we open up the Word of God, may it be strength to us. May it bless and pour into our lives. May it rich us and may it feed us. And may it lead us to understand more about you. Reveal your nature to us today, God. That we will see you, God, just exactly the way you are. A loving God. A God who wants nothing more than to feed your people and empower us. Have your way, God, in this service. I'll thank you and I'll praise you for the blessings that you provided. And I'll thank you for the good report with Gary. And I'll thank you for the good report, Father, that I can shout out. And I'll thank you for what you're doing in this church. Bless it. Now, Father, when technology doesn't have the volume, God, you're going to give us the volume that we need. You'll teach us what we need to do to make it so that others can celebrate it. We'll thank you and praise you, God. For you are Lord of lords and King of kings. Father, we just praise you this morning. Oh God, how we worship you and thank you. For this we ask in your holy and precious name. Amen. Well, I apologize if every now and then I get shake out that leg and get some feeling back into it, but maybe it's a reminder that I need to kneel a little bit more than what I've been kneeling. We're looking at a passage of mine. Ooh, forgot this. The clicker. You can go ahead and put up the title. Keep My Mind Sharp. You know, sometimes in the midst, as I was writing this on the eve of my surgery, I wasn't really 100% certain how I was going to feel this morning. I wasn't certain how this message was going to go and whether I was going to be up to it or not. But for some reason, I had the bright idea this was going to be all right. I had the bright idea that, well, I'm going to do it regardless. So, well, here I am, and we're going to do this regardless. But the songs were prepared and the finishing touches were on the message. I'm just praising God to get the good report on Gary being home and how he's moving slow and God is blessing him. And then Wednesday night, you know, I just look back on that moment and think, wow, the enemy didn't want me to deliver that message for some odd reason. I had to try two or three times to get that message out. And by the time I got to it, I'm like, okay, I'm not stopping until I carry this on because there's something here that needed to go out. And we were talking about how we need to have the Holy Spirit's power in what we're doing. Here, we look a little bit deeper into the text, and we're looking at one of my favorite leaders who had some challenges, Solomon. And we're looking at 1 Kings chapter 3, and we're going to look at verse 4. So if you're able to stand, this brings us to the Old Testament and the encounter with Solomon. So if you're able to stand for the reading of God's Word, we're going to do that. I think it's on page 524 of your large print Bibles. But it'll be on the screen as well. All right. Verse 3. Solomon showed his love for the Lord by walking according to the instructions given him by his father, David, except that he offered sacrifices and burnt incense on the high places. The king went to Gibeon to offer sacrifices, for that was the most important high place. And Solomon offered 1,000 burnt offerings on the altar. At Gibeon, the Lord appeared to Solomon during the night in a dream and said, and God said, ask for whatever you want me to give you. Solomon answered, you have showed great kindness to your servant, my father David, because he was faithful to you and righteous and upright in heart. You have continued this great kindness to him and have given him a son to sit on the throne this very day. Now, Lord, my God, you have made your servant king in place of my father David, but I am only a little child and do not know how to carry out my duties. Your servant is here among the people you have chosen, a great people, too numerous to count or number. So, give your servant a discerning heart to govern your people and distinguish between right and wrong, for who is able to govern this great people of yours? The Lord was pleased that Solomon had asked for this. So God said to him, since you have asked for this, and not for long life or wealth for yourself, nor have asked for the death of your enemies, but for discernment in administering justice, I will do what you ask. I will give you a wise and discerning heart, so that there will never have been anyone like you, nor will there ever be. Moreover, I will give you what you have not asked for, both wealth and honor, so that in your lifetime you will have no equal among kings. And if you walk in obedience to me and keep my decrees and my commands, as David your father did, I will give you long life. May God add a blessing to the reading of his word. You may be seated. In our reading today, we encounter Solomon. Solomon had just ascended to the throne after his father David, that beloved king of Israel. It is a succession marked by court intrigue and competition. Few people lose their lives in Solomon's consolidation of power, including David's son, Adonijah, who had designs on the throne himself. But after intrigue, Solomon is now king, and he goes to Gibeon to offer sacrifices to the Lord. The Lord appeared to Solomon in a dream there and says, ask what I should give you. It is a remarkable offer for this young king. Ask what you will, says God. No one can imagine what he might request. Long life, riches, power, victory in battle. Solomon asked for none of that. Instead, he praises God for God's faithfulness to his father. And he describes his own situation. He says, I am a young man, a little child. He has to govern a numerous people. And not just any people, but a nation of God's own choosing. Therefore, he asked God for a listening heart. Many call this an understanding mind. In order to judge God's people and discern between good and evil. Well, as I wrote this, I called this, keep a sharp mind. You know, that's challenging today, isn't it? Our minds are so full of all kinds of things. But how do we keep a sharp mind? And why is it necessary to keep a sharp mind? And I apologize, but I'm going to be back and forth because this feels so good. So Solomon asked for a real challenging question. I believe that one of the first things we have to do is meditate on a relationship with God. The scripture tells us, you want to keep your mind sharp, you have to keep it active. You got to keep it moving. They say you should be reading, you should be listening, you should invest in that mind. We only use a small portion of our mind every day. And it said that in order to essentially build and keep a sharp mind and to keep our wits about ourselves, you know, I love commercials. I love some of the wit, and I remember things all the way back when I was in junior high school. Some of the silliest things. You know, I remember reading Shakespeare, and I remember some of the French classes and some of the songs we used to sing, and, you know, some of the silliest things that you remember in your mind. It's important that you keep that mind active, because throughout the history of the Scriptures, we know that one of the ways that they kept their relationship with God was through the stories. They told the stories to one another. Now, my kids are at the age where they, Dad, you've told us that story enough. Don't tell us anymore, right? You know, you've heard that silly joke on the submarine 1,000 times before, right? You've heard some of those funny screen door submarines and all of the music and songs that go with it. But notice that in the very beginning that Solomon walked in the ways of the Lord. It said that he had a listening heart, an understanding mind, the ability to discern what is right and what is good. Those are qualities that are essential to good governance, qualities that we should pray to find in our own leaders. Boy, we hope we can find that today when it comes time in November. I'm not sure what we're going to find, but it's going to be what it's going to be, and I pray that all of you vote and vote accordingly. I'm not going to tell you how to vote, but you need to vote. It speaks well of the young king that he recognizes the enormous responsibility he has and seeks not material gifts for himself, but characters that will benefit his people. We are told keeping my mind sharp requires that I have the same type of qualities, a listening heart. You know, sometimes we've got to be able to listen. That means we've got to open our ears and close our mouths. That's kind of challenging, isn't it? Sometimes we always have an answer before somebody even begins. You know, they say one of the rules of thumb is when somebody's talking, wait 10 seconds before you speak. You ever tried that? 10 seconds is a long time. And it's like before they even get the last word off of their lips, you're like, let me answer you. Let me tell you what I think. And they're like, wait a minute, I haven't even finished. You know, that ability to have a listening heart. I want to keep my mind sharp. I've got to be able to listen. I got to listen well. And listening requires a function of keeping our ears and our minds open. It's body functions that says, hey, I'm paying attention to what you're saying. Quite oftentimes, Beth and I will have a conversation and she'll look at me and go, did you really hear what I said? And I'll go, yeah, I sure did. Well, then tell me what I said. Well, you know, we missed part of it, right? We're too active in trying to come up with an answer. But to keep a listening heart, I want to keep my mind sharp. I need to listen a little more. Then I need to have an understanding mind. You know, sometimes the Scripture tells us that it's through the power of the Holy Spirit that God speaks to us, and He speaks to us in that relationship. It is through that understanding mind that God reveals His character, His nature, reveals who He is and what He's doing and why He's doing it. To understand the mind is to be able to listen and to hear what God is doing, and then to discern. You know, one of the attributes of the gifts of the Spirit is having a discerning heart. It all comes with time and meditation. Psalm chapter 1, the psalmist says, calls the man who delights in God's law, who meditates on it day and night, happy and fruitful and blessed. The Hebrew word for meditate means to mumble or mutter aloud. Now, I don't know about you, but you ever talk to yourself? You ever talk to yourself? The worst part is they say when you get an answer, then you're in trouble, right? But this Hebrew word, meditate, means to mumble and mutter to oneself aloud. It's talking to yourself. It's celebrating. The ways to delight in God's Word is to repeat it aloud, to celebrate what God is saying to you. Sometimes that may mean you have to mutter it aloud. Sometimes God has to whisper it on your lips and speak His praise. If we mutter the Scripture over and over again, we begin to learn them. They become a part of our repertoire. They become part of our language. And one of the ways that we keep our mind sharp is to have a language of love. I love that. But to have a language of love means to understand what God is doing. What protects the man in Psalm 1 from worldliness and sinful behavior? It's meditating on God's Word night and day. It produces fruit in our life. It allows us to be rooted in God's Word. We draw nourishment from it all the times. It's more than just a daily Bible reading. It's letting the extension of that Word melt into us. Meditation plunges you deeper into the verses. It causes you to read them over again. It allows it to saturate in your heart. You repeat it phrase at a time. You know, God's Word has some real rich scriptures that we can really grab a hold of. In the New Testament, this idea of meditating on the Word of God is described by Paul in Colossians. He said, "Let the Word of Christ dwell in you richly." Tim Keller says that meditation on the Bible is more than just an intense thinking. If I want to keep my mind sharp, I've got to let God's Word dwell in my life. I don't have to memorize it, but I need to let that Word richly dwell in my life. What is God saying to me? You know, there are times in my life that the Word of God comes out intensely. God will bring a scripture that is due in season, and God will bring something to your memory that will allow you to meditate, and you know that God is there. It's more than just information. It's more than simply digesting knowledge or information. Paul's letter to the Philippian church, he exhorts the believers to fill their minds with whatever is true, honorable, just, pure, lovely, commendable, excellent, and praiseworthy in Philippians chapter 4, verse 8. He encourages them to hold fast to their faith by saturating their minds with what is true and good. You know, Beth asked me the last couple of days, she's like, "Do you want to turn the TV on?" I'm like, "No. I'd rather just sit here and be quiet. I'd rather not watch the TV. I don't want to get into the next 8 weeks to where I'm doing nothing but sitting, laying in bed, or doing whatever I can't do and watching the TV. Because as far as I'm concerned, if it's not HGTV and I'm not watching somebody build a house in 100 days, there's nothing worth of value on there for me." Now, she might want to watch the Hallmark movies, and we know the ending where they smooch, kiss, and they're happy for the rest of their lives. I'm just saying, the TVs are full of garbage. And then what happens is, if we're not watching TV, we're saturating our minds with social media. What a pure waste of effort. Honestly, there are just some people that they get immersed in social media. They want to tell you the ins and outs of their life and what they did last night, who they were with, how many people they were with. I don't really want to know. They try to put stuff on our Facebook, and I constantly delete it. All I want that for is so that we can use it for our benefit. But Paul said, you got to choose. Let your mind be filled with what is true. Well, we know the Bible is true. We know that God's Word is true. We know the Scripture is honorable and lovely and commendable. But we need to think on those things. Wow, it's already... Whew. Joshua called the church to vigorously and continue meditating on the Word. He said, keep this book of the law always on your lips. Meditate on it night and day, Joshua 1:8. So we know that Solomon was called to exercise his mind and to worship the Lord. So keeping my mind sharp means I need to meditate on the Word of God. But then it says, I need to keep my mind engaged. Now that's challenging, isn't it? You know, there's all kinds of things that you can wander away. And you might go away for a few minutes this morning. Don't do it. I'm watching you. Just because I'm moving around up here, don't wander away on me. Stay with me. But sometimes we need to keep our mind engaged. And according to Harvard University, one of the things we should do is learn a hobby, learn a new skill, mentor someone else. Solomon was in his office. He knew he had the anointing of God, and it was necessary for him to exercise his mind daily. If you look at the scriptures right after Solomon took office, after he woke up from his dream, he was thrust right in the middle of two women who had a child and what to do with the child. You remember the story? At the close of it, Solomon they were asking him, well, what do we do? Both women said they had a child. One died. The other one went and stole the child. Story has it, Solomon was left to decide. He said, I had to judge between two women and who the child belonged to. He had to judge correctly, and it was evident by his first challenge that I have to keep my mind engaged. I can't miss the details. However, it also cites one another way to keep the mind sharp is to use all your senses. Your sight, your touch, your smell, your feel, your hearing, the stimulus that your brain reacts to. It's like going to camping. You remember the campfires? People like s'mores and the food cooking on the campfire. Going to mom's house. Remember the sights and sounds of food cooking. The kitchen gatherings. Remember the smells coming out of the oven. Those things permeate our mind. Solomon was very well familiar with the offerings that he gave when he was in Gibeon. Those smells and those sights permeated who Solomon was. He knew what God was blessing the people, and he was able to relate those smells and those engagements to that vivid memory of what God is able to do. And it brought him recollection. You know, one of the ways that Solomon engaged those was offering in the high places. The sights and the smells and the aromas had to permeate the life. Look at us. What do we do when we gather around the table? You know, you walk into the kitchen at Thanksgiving time. And I know it's not Thanksgiving yet. But guess what you're going to smell? The turkey cooking in the oven, right? You're going to smell the mashed potatoes and the gravy and the cakes and the dressings and all of the food that's in there. Gather around some fellowship times with family and gather around your favorite meal. What do you remember? Baking and the joy that comes from it. You remember those sights and those smells. And what we're told is that we need to engage that mind. Those are things that nobody can steal from you. Those are memories that live vivid in your mind and your life. What has God done for you? What smells and sights remind you of what God is doing in your life? We notice here that Solomon found the anointing of God. In verse 7, he states, you've made my servant king in place of the father David. You know, I remember a long time ago, I was 18, and the gentleman who was the foreman of the shop had just passed away, and they brought the keys to me, and they said, here you go. You're now the boss. I'm like, well, I don't know what I'm doing. Well, you can imagine the people in the room behind me said, son, I got more time in the bathroom than you have on this floor. You can't tell me anything. Who are you? You're just wet behind the ears. You see, sometimes we have to earn the respect from others. We have to work at it. We have to be reminded. There's a remarkable difference between saying I know something and showing I know something. Keeping a sharp mind also entails prioritizing the mind. We have to repeat it. Yes, I'm at that age that sometimes I have to repeat it or I don't remember it. I have to write it down. We have two or three calendars. You know, I got one on my phone, I got one at the house, I got one here, I got one there, I got one on my iPad. You got to remember it, right? You have to write it down. Prioritize the mind. Analyze things. Utilize the brain like file folders. Access the information. Paul even said in the scriptures, study to show yourself a workman who needs not be ashamed, but rightly divides the word of truth. Why did Paul tell him that? Why did he tell Timothy that you got to study to show yourself? Because that in that studying, we prioritize the Word of God. It becomes rich in my life. We have to put everything in its place. And you know me, I like things in their place and a place for everything. Whether it's the right place or not, it's my place. I know where they're at, and if something's moved, I can tell you it's been moved. One of the other things that we talk about is to keep your mind sharp, is to repeat what you do know, and what you don't want to know, space it out. Remember things that matter, but the mind is being utilized for memory, whether it's reading, understanding, memorization, or trivia. They say that you want to find somebody that has a good memory and is sharp. They're constantly learning. They're reading things beyond their level. You can't read ABC book and still expect to grow. If you're beyond that level, read something that's going to engage your mind. Read something that's beyond your level so that it feeds you and it teaches you. Stay away from TikTok, Snapchat, social media, games that have absolutely no value. Well, keep my mind engaged. Third, I must seek discernment. How many of us really believe that discernment is a gift of God? Scripture tells us that we need to have a discerning heart. You ever heard someone say that we need to be able to decide for ourselves what is true and right? Discern for yourself whether it is a gift of God or it is the Holy Spirit or it is the fruits of the Spirit. See, God gives us discerning hearts. That comes sometimes with time. Sometimes discernment comes from the skill in exercising it. Discernment comes, according to Scriptures, by the power of the Holy Spirit. Paul writes, "It is my prayer that your love may abound more and more with knowledge and discernment so that you may approve what is excellent and so be pure and blameless until the day of Christ." Philippians 1, verse 9 and 10. Paul is saying that with knowledge and discernment, you may approve what is excellent. The writer says in Hebrews that solid food is for the mature and those who have powers of discernment trained by constant practice. The gift of discernment, you want to keep a sharp mind, is knowing that wisdom, like Solomon, comes from God. It takes time to seek the Lord, the anointing of the Holy Spirit, making wise choices. Now, I must tell you, as a young lad, I didn't always make wise choices. Didn't always do the right thing. I don't always say the right thing. Sometimes I have to be cautious because making wise decisions takes a moment to think about what you're going to do. I've learned over the years, don't run headlong into something. Wait a second. Think about what I'm going to do and how I'm going to accomplish it before I get there. Because I normally, if I don't, I end up doing it two or three times. And sometimes the first and second time are not very good. Remember that Solomon was given discernment because his motives were pure. We know that a pure heart and open relationship with the Lord are key fundamentals. And secondly, Solomon wanted to live in the spiritual realm, not in the natural. We live in a time to where we want to keep our mind sharp. We have to be attuned to the spiritual realm. Because why? The enemy is a roaring lion, roaming to and fro. He wants nothing than to seek, kill, and destroy. And even when the Scriptures tell us in the Gospel that sometimes when we go and clean up our house, what does it say? Once we've cleaned up the house, the enemy's going to come back sevenfold and destroy it worse than what it was before. We have to be attuned to what's going on in the spiritual realm. Finally, I leave you with this thought. Not only to keep a sharp mind, I must seek discernment. I must walk in the ways of the Lord. In Solomon's closing in verse 14, he said, "And if you walk in my ways and obey my statutes and my command, as David your father did, I will give you long life." For many of us, it's hard to live in the realm of God's presence and existence. The Scripture says, "Come out from among them and be ye separate," says the Lord. That doesn't mean we have to leave the world that we're in. It says that we live in this world. We've been called out from the world. How do you do that? We have to learn to be sharp. Our mind has to be aware. We have to be attuned to what God is doing in the Spirit. We have to constantly be on board with what the Holy Spirit's investing in my life. I got to keep my mind sharp. I've got to know that around every corner, there's the potential that something could go wrong. I have to be attuned to that. That doesn't mean I have to walk around worried. What it means is if I'm spiritually attuned, I'm aware of those sensations. One of the final moments to keep my mind sharp is always seeking direction from God. Keeping active in His Word, active in prayer, active in walking His ways, active in seeking God, His love, and His desire for my life. Yes, the older I get, the more it's important that you keep your mind active, prayerful, sharp. You walk in God's ways. You seek God, His love, and His desires for our life. Because Lord knows what's around the corner. I want to keep a sharp mind. I want my mind focused on Him. I want my desires to follow His path. I want to be blessed by the Holy Spirit. And I want God to pour into my life. I hope you want the same. Father, as we close this time today, God, I'm thankful that we're able to keep a sharp mind, Father, that through your blessings, you can restore to us the joy of our salvation. Father, you can keep us spiritually aware that we know that our God lives and that because he lives, God, we can face tomorrow. And I serve a risen Savior. He's in the world today. I know that he is living. No matter what the foes may say, you live. God, teach us today to keep our minds sharp and focused on you. In your holy name I pray. Amen. So I guess you know the closing song.
And Savior, he's in the world today. I know that he is living, whatever men may say. I see his hand of mercy, I hear his voice of truth. And just the time I need him, he's always near. He lives, he lives. Christ Jesus lives today. He walks with me and talks with me along life's narrow way. He lives, he lives. Salvation to impart. You ask me how I know he lives. My heart. Rejoice, O Christian, lift up your voice and sing. Eternal hallelujah to Jesus Christ the King. The hope of all who seek him, the hope of all who find. My mother is so loving, so good and kind. He lives, he lives. Christ Jesus lives today. He walks with me and talks with me along that narrow way. He lives, salvation to impart. You ask me how I know he lives. He lives within my heart. Jesus lives today. He walks with me and talks with me along life's narrow way. He lives, he lives. Salvation to impart. You ask me how I know he lives. He lives within my
Father God, thank you. Thank you for keeping our minds sharp. Thank you for a God who lives and reigns today. Bless your people, God, until we can meet again. In your holy name I pray. Amen. Amen. Have an awesome day. Go in his grace.
Everyone around the world, hear the joyful sound. See the heavens open up, hear the music coming down. Nothing's gonna separate from the Father's love. I can't help but celebrate, cause we're not alone. God is on our side, who can be against us? God is on our side. God is on our side. Your hands be lifted up. The dirty